This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined early this week by Matt Newmans. Wes Reynolds will join us later. Happy Thanksgiving to all. We're doing this a week early. I'm on assignment here in lovely Florida. Matt fresh off his trip to Maui. But we got a whole lot to get into, Matt. Rivalry week, a lot of unique situations. And I want to jump right into it, and we'll start on Friday, noon Eastern, this game on ABC. Whole lot going on with Lane Kiffin. Will he stay? Will he go? The cowbells will be ringing down there. They'd love nothing more to send him off with a loss. Right now, market sits at 7, Matt. Mississippi State catching 7 at home. Are you looking at the dog in the Bulldogs?
I am going to look at the dog, and I'm going to ask you a question at the end of this here. So we've talked about more cowbell, and we played the Bulldogs as home dogs in a few spots this season. I played them against Arizona State, played them against Texas. I know some people tried to play Mississippi State as a home dog against Georgia. That did not work out. I was not on Mississippi State in that spot. I'm going to come back with the Bulldogs and Blake Shapen here. And this is the Super Bowl for Mississippi State, no question about it. You got Ole Miss, ranked 7th coming into Starkville, going to be a playoff team. And the Bulldogs need to win this game to get to 6-6. We know their defense is not very good, and this could be a really high-scoring game. I thought about the total in this one as well. But, Tim, I think all the Lane Kiffin nonsense has got to be a big distraction to this Ole Miss team. The players don't know if their coach is going to stay or if he's going to be gone after this game. That's a bit of a factor in the handicap, but in a rivalry game like this, when you get 7 with the home dog, in this type of situation, I think the home dog is going to be live. Do you think the Kiffin situation is going to be a distraction to the Rebels?
I think it has to be. And I know Trinidad Chambliss came out and he put something on social media saying they're focused on the game at hand and all that. But it certainly has to be, a concern and a distraction. Now, I know you and I were texted by our friend Brett McMurphy, who put out a big article on 3 earlier today saying, where is he going to go? And I think both you and I said LSU. Maybe it's Lane being Lane and he's going back to Ole Miss. Maybe he's in that locker room, Matt, saying, I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. I doubt it. I think he's going to LSU, but this was certainly on the short list for me. I did not make a bet yet on this game, but it would be dog or pass for me. I think what you mentioned, Matt, the biggest worry I have here is that Mississippi State defense. We've seen it just get absolutely shredded at times, especially your guy, Ahmad Hardy, running for 300 against them a couple weeks ago. Granted, that was in Missouri. That was not, down in cowbell land, but it would be dog or pass for me. Should be a great atmosphere. I do wish, small gripe, I wish this was on Thanksgiving night, Matt. How great would this be as our Thanksgiving dessert if we had Mississippi and Mississippi State?
Yeah, it's not like Bengals-Ravens is a bad game, but I'd probably rather watch this game in Starkville on Thanksgiving night than I would the NFL game. So, yeah, it used to be a Thanksgiving night game, right? I believe it was.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It definitely did. Yeah, Matt, we're going to kind of bounce all over the place. We're going to go from Friday to Saturday, so we're going to go all over the place here. So let's go to another noon game, but this game will be on Saturday. Ohio State, Michigan, one of, if not the best rivalry in the sport. And I took first half under in this one, and I gave our plays to our producer today, Rick, last night. And of course, the line has moved. It's down to 22.5. I played a juice 23.5. Maybe you could still get that at DraftKings, but I think you and I are thinking similarly. This game will be on Fox. Our friend, the Bear, Chris Felica, and his big noon kickoff crew will be there for this game. Ohio State, Michigan. Matt, Ohio State has not beaten Michigan since 2019. Do they finally get it done on Saturday?
It's so odd to think that, too, because for the longest time, it seemed like the Buckeyes owned this rivalry. Now, all of a sudden, it's all Michigan. It's become a psychological issue for Ohio State. I think the Buckeyes are going to get over the hurdle here and win this game. But I don't think it's going to be easy. And We still need to see Ohio State really face some serious tests on the road. I know the Buckeyes won at Washington. They won at Illinois. And this Michigan team's pretty mediocre. Now, the Wolverines made me look bad last week. I took 14 with Mike Loxley, which was a mistake. And Michigan rolled 45-20 at Maryland. What surprised me was the Wolverines, without their top two running backs, went for 228 yards on the ground against that Maryland defense. Now, I think Jordan Marshall is going to be back for this game. Justice Haynes out with a foot injury, not going to play in this game. And I expect the Ohio State defense and coordinator Matt Patricia to really shut down this Michigan offense. It's pretty one-dimensional offense. Underwood's not much of a passer. He's not going to make big plays in the passing game. At least if he does, it's going to be very rare. Last year, Ohio State was a 20-point home favorite and lost that game 13-10. A lot of that had to do with Chip Kelly, who was the offense coordinator at the time, calling one of the worst offensive games I can remember in a big college football game. Chip Kelly's since out of a job with the Raiders. He's been proven to be so bad in that role. I think you're going to see another low-scoring game here, Tim. And, you know, it's going to be cold. I'm not sure if wind or precipitation is going to be a factor in Ann Arbor at this point. But I'm going to say something like Ohio State 20-10, where it's right around that number. That's why I don't want to pick a side here, but I'd rather play this under the total. And you can find the total 43.5, 44, 44.5. Who knows? 45 might pop up at some point. But we'll call it under 44 right now.
Yeah, I did first half under, like I mentioned, 23.5. It's 22.5 market wide now. You know, you could go Michigan team total under. You could go first half under, full game under. I like them all, to be honest, the way that this could play out. Obviously, the big thing is the status of Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, Matt. Are they going to play this game for the Buckeyes? If they play, I certainly feel better about the side for Ohio State. They're pretty big on the money line. Obviously, around minus $4, somewhere in that ballpark. So if you wanted to throw them in a money line parlay, you probably have to have one or two other teams in there. Or at least two other teams. So we will see how this ultimately plays out. Matt, I want to stay in the Big Ten. Let's go 3:30 on Saturday. This game will be on CBS. We've got a rivalry game, Oregon and Washington. And health is a big concern in this game, too. Right now, if you do like the dog, sevens are out there. I think DraftKings still has a juice seven. That's what I did. I laid $1.15 with Washington at DraftKings. Matt, what do you make of this one out in the Pacific Northwest on Saturday afternoon, Oregon and Washington?
This is going to be one of my best bets, too, and I don't like to bet against the Ducks too often here, but let's take in another rivalry game. Let's take the home dog and roll with the Huskies, catching seven, like you said. 6.5 pretty much across the market. DraftKings has that seven. I'm going to take the seven here with the Huskies. We're off a big win at UCLA, and previous to that, they blew out Purdue at home, so a bit back in form. Damon Williams, quarterback, has been playing better. They can move the ball on the ground. And I think Jed Fish is going to have his team well prepared for this game. Oregon has got a lot more on the line here, but that doesn't mean a whole lot when you handicap it. I think I'm going to expect this Huskies team to give the Ducks all they can handle here, Tim. And we're talking about a Huskies team that's off a 34 and a 36-point win the last 2 weeks. And you and I have talked about this. Where has Jed Fish had his problems? Been on the road. Not at home. And this is one of the toughest home environments in college football. And you give me seven with Washington, I'll take it. But make sure you get to seven, not to 6.5.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you look at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, Denzel Boston, Jonah Coleman, Damon Williams. It is as impressive of a trio in the country, in my opinion. At home, been playing better. Keep an eye on the injuries, too. Oregon's dealing with injuries on the offensive line. DeCorian Moore has been out. Bryant has been out at the wide receiver position. They didn't miss him last week. And this is an explosive Oregon offense. Dante Moore, I think, has played better than I anticipated all year, Matt. But I'm with you. Washington, a play for me. Home dog, rivalry game. And that's kind of the trend of this weekend. Great rivalry game, some home dogs. But this is not a home dog. This is actually a road dog in that same window, Matt. Let's go to Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Good old Rocky Top will be the site for this one. Diego Pavia, and maybe his last game as a Vanderbilt Commodore. I assume he'll play in the bowl game, but you never know nowadays. But
I thought you were
Vanderbilt
gonna say,
catching three.
I thought you were going to say Diego Pavia is coming back for a seventh season.
Maybe he might be. Who knows? I mean, in this day and age, you never know. But Vanderbilt, you can actually get a couple, a 3.5 if you're in Vegas. The Westgate Superbook has a 3.5. Consensus number is 3, though, at all the national shops, Circa as well. Vandy and Tennessee, Matt, this game on ESPN, 3:30 on Saturday.
Well, I got burned going against the Volunteers last week. And again, apologies to anybody who followed me on that Florida play last week. That was as bad as it gets. 31-0 down at the half. I texted a couple of my Florida friends last week. What the hell is going on at halftime? Didn't see that coming with the Gators as home dogs. Very impressive performance by Josh Heupel in the Tennessee offense and the Tennessee defense, too, to have the Gators shut out that deep into the game. Vandy has been on the wrong end of this rivalry, Tim. There's no doubt about it. But Clark Lee has changed a lot of the narratives about the Commodores here. And he's got them at 9-2, and this is a huge game here. And Diego Pavia is in great form. Look at his passing yards in the past three games, 484, 377, and 365. I think this Commodores offense is rolling. I expect this game to be high-scoring, entertaining and high-scoring, but I trust the Vandy defense a little bit more than I do the Tennessee D, and I also trust Diego Pavia a little bit more. And I think Clark Lee is due for a big-game breakthrough here against Tennessee. Like you said, you can take 3.5 out there, mostly 3. I'm going to take the dog here. I'm going to take the short dog Vandy in this game. I think this number is short for a reason, Tim.
I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head with entertaining. This game should be wildly entertaining, as Vanderbilt games tend to be. And Diego Pavia, he keeps striking the Heisman pose. Look, I think you can make an argument. No one is more important to the success of their team than Diego Pavia. Not an official play for me, but a game that I am going to be glued in to watch on Saturday, no doubt, as that game kicks off in the state of Tennessee. Remember, Diego Pavia went on a podcast, should have been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, but it was another one during the summer, and said Vanderbilt ran Tennessee football. So a lot of big words, but he backs them up more often than not. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more dogs on Matt Newman's card. We will also check in with Wes Reynolds. It is a special edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, a day early, breaking down the Week 14 card.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim Murray, Matt Newmans, Wes Reynolds will jump on, give us his favorite plays. We'll run all over the board. It's a big weekend. Games on Friday, games on Saturday. Matt, let's go back to Friday, a noon Eastern game. We've got Arizona State taking on Arizona. This is the Territorial Cup. Pretty fun rivalry. And both these teams coming in ranked according to the new college football playoff rankings. Arizona 25th, Arizona State 20th. This game will kick off on Fox, as I mentioned, noon Eastern. So an early kick time down there in Tempe, Matt. What do you make of this spot? Arizona State, a short home favorite here against Arizona. Or short home dog, excuse me.
I was going to say, Tim, did the line change 5 points in the last couple of hours? I'm going with Arizona State here as a 2.5-point home dog. I haven't bet this yet. I'm going to see if I can get 3, or maybe I might even buy it to 3, but I only see a 2.5 out there at BetMGM, so I don't think it's going to go to 3. But I'll take the points with the Sun Devils. They were 8-point favorites in this game a year ago in Tucson, and they embarrassed the Wildcats 49-7. Now, it's obvious Arizona State's not the same team. You lose your star quarterback, and you got to replace him with Jeff Sims, and who has played okay. He's obviously, Jeff Sims not going to be a superstar, but he's played okay. The Sun Devils have been really effective running the ball. And I trust Kenny Dillingham as a home dog in this spot. Look, this is not a bad Arizona State team, even without your star quarterback. He's got the Sun Devils winning 3 in a row, and at 8-3 going into this game, they're off that 42-17 win at Colorado. And I tell you the truth, I made this a pick'em game, and I actually could have made it Arizona State minus one based on my numbers. But I said, yeah, pick'em's probably the right number here. But I think Arizona State, even without – it's obviously a dramatically different team without Sam Leavitt, a quarterback. But even with Jeff Sims and that running attack and the defense – and the way Kenny Dillingham's going to have his team prepared for this rivalry game. I like Arizona State side, and that's where I'm going to go here.
You know, Matt, staying on Friday, there's some massive games in the Mountain West. You and I love to bet this conference. We were 1-1 last week. We both had Utah State, which was a good winner to close out the Saturday slate. Unfortunately, our Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, who we will talk about here in a moment, did not show up at Allegiant Stadium. But on Friday, Matt, let's start with the game on CBS Sports Network, 3:30 Eastern, San Diego State in New Mexico. You've got another short home dog situation. Maybe no one's been more impressive this year than New Mexico, a team that rebuilt this whole roster after Bronco Mendenhall left. Jason Eck comes in and has just done a phenomenal job, really kind of burst onto the scene with a win at UCLA, went on the road and beat UNLV. Matt, you were at San Diego State, Hawaii a couple weeks ago in the rain, and then you were at San Diego State and Boise State in the rain also a couple weeks ago when San Diego State won. I think New Mexico is going to be able to move the ball. I know they have not looked prolific the last couple of weeks, Matt, and that does make me a little bit nervous when you look at how they struggled offensively against Colorado State and Air Force. But I think back at home, I expect this to be a pretty good crowd down there in Albuquerque. It's a lot of pressure on this San Diego State team to win this game. If they win, they're hosting the Mountain West Championship. I think New Mexico throws a wrinkle into the Mountain West, Matt. I think New Mexico wins this game, and I think we very well could be looking at a four-way tie in this conference to end the regular season.
I do, too. And in fact, Lobo's very close to making my card here as a best bet. I've got it written down here, plus 1.5. I haven't played it yet, so I'm not going to use it on this podcast. But think about how strange recent weeks have been in the Mountain West Conference. You mentioned it. I was out in Honolulu when Hawaii beat San Diego State 38-6 in the rain that night. Aztecs rolled into that game with the number two scoring defense in college football at 10 points per game, and they had allowed 24 by halftime and got blown out. A couple weeks later in San Diego, it's raining. We knew it was going to be a ground war between the Aztecs and Boise State. And that's exactly what it turned out to be. The teams combined for 8 yards passing in the first half, and the Aztecs won that game 17-7. And then how about Hawaii going to Vegas last Friday night and no showing? We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, but that's a head scratcher as well. New Mexico put up 40 points on that UNLV defense not long ago. 40. Now, the Lobos offense has not looked very good since. But, you know, I was talking about Arizona State, and Relique Brown rushed for 255 yards for the Sun Devils last week. I think San Diego State's going to need that type of effort from Lucky Sutton here to win this game, because Jaden Dinegal, the quarterback, he's another guy who's very inaccurate as a passer, doesn't make a lot of big plays through the air. So Lucky Sutton's going to be the meal ticket for the Aztecs if they're going to win this game. I'm skeptical they're going to win it. I like the job Jason X done in Albuquerque, and I think the home dog's going to be live here. I'm probably going to play the Lobos.
Yeah, official bet for me, though, I'll take New Mexico. Took 2.5 earlier this week. Official play will be money line, so I'm sure they'll lose by one. But take the 1.5 if you'd rather go that route, Matt. You mentioned it, so let's get to it. The last game on the board, it feels lovely to wrap up the regular season in Honolulu, 11 Eastern. Our guy, Kanoa Lehu, who, shout out to Kanoa, calling Maui Invitational games on ESPN big time. He'll be on the call of this one, Matt. Wyoming at Hawaii. I'll be honest, sometimes I understand line moves, right? And this one is just perplexing to me. I get it. Hawaii looked like absolute crap against UNLV, but I don't know how anyone is out there taking Wyoming. The market moved off of 10 or 11. It's now 7.5 at DraftKings, 8 across the market, Matt. Our Hawaii game, as always, brought to you by our good friends over at Nahoku Jewelers. Matt, give us your thoughts on this one, because I believe it is a best bet for you. Hawaii right now a 7.5 point home favorite.
Yeah, this is an odd one. A strange setup here for this game with money showing up on Wyoming. I don't get that either. Who's betting the Cowboys at this point? And we know Hawaii football is a different animal in Honolulu. There's no doubt about it. And by the way, Kanoa Leahy had called Maui Invitational games on ESPN in the past, Tim. It's not his first rodeo. He's done this before. I talked to him when I was out in Maui this week. Great guy, does a great job calling those games. If he was in Vegas last Friday calling the Hawaii UNLV football game, he had to be very disappointed in what he was watching. Hey, simply put, that was a no-show performance. Hawaii struck early with a big pass play, then didn't show up for three quarters. I don't know what happened there. Very disappointing performance from Hawaii. It's kind of hard to explain. You were there. I was in the Bahamas at the time. I walked into the sports book and I watched two possessions of the game. I said, what the hell is going on here? Complete lack of urgency on offense from Hawaii. The play calling, just the, like you said, the lack of urgency puzzling in that game. I would expect a totally different performance here this week at home. Off an embarrassing loss like that. And Tim, this Wyoming football team is bad right now, especially bad offensively. The last three games, Wyoming's lost all three, including a home loss to Nevada. Has scored a total, Cowboys scored a total of 17 points, 7, 3, and 7 in the last three. I gotta think that Mike Alejado and the Timmy Chang offense shows up here and that the Warriors win this game. Not only by double digits, they should win this game big. So I'm laying the 7.5 here with Hawaii as the best bet. I don't really see the case for betting Wyoming.
I was surprised to see how much support came in on Hawaii, or excuse me, on Wyoming here in this spot. I threw Hawaii in a money line parlay, but I'll also probably lay the chalk here as well. Worth noting, we update it every week, but Timmy Chang 5-0 ATS at home this year since he's gotten to Hawaii, 19-6-1 against the spread on the home field turf there out there in Honolulu. Just a reminder, our Hawaii games always brought to you by our friends Nahoku Jewelers, Hawaii's finest jewelers since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nahoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. It's that time of year, Christmas time, so why not check out some Nahoku jewelry for a loved one in your life? Their designs are timeless, perfect for celebrating life's most important moments. They have more than 30 locations, not only just in Hawaii, and I know Matt was checking out a couple when he was out in Maui, but also all over the mainland in California, Texas, Illinois, the DMV, New England, down in Florida. So check them out for the full collection and all their locations, Nahoku.com. That's Nahoku. Mahalo to our friends Nahoku, a proud sponsor of this podcast all year long. Matt, before I let you run here on Thanksgiving, run through your best bets and any other game that may be just missing the card by a bit.
Yeah, we talked about one, which was New Mexico. I'm not really sure yet what I'm going to do with the Texas A&M Texas game. And I've got a bunch of other possibilities on my list here. When you get Wes Reynolds, when you get the Wizard on the podcast, make sure you ask him about Indiana Purdue. I'm liking this Fernando Mendoza Heisman bet I've got a little bit more. I think Mendoza is going to put up big numbers against this pitiful Purdue pass defense. I thought about playing Indiana here. I haven't bet it yet, so I didn't use it. But Indiana, 27, 28-point favorite. I'm going to call 48-10. So you ask Wes for his score projection of the bucket game and see what he comes up with. I'm going to say Indiana wins that 48-10. But my best bet list for right now, as I return from Maui, and I've still got a lot of games yet to handicap and bet, so it's going to be a shorter list than I'll have by the weekend. But, Tim, let's go with Mississippi State +7, Arizona State +2.5, Vanderbilt +3, Hawaii -7.5, Washington +7, and one total, Ohio State, Michigan under 44.
All right, Matt, much appreciated as always. Glad to have you back stateside, and we'll talk to you next week here on the podcast.
Tim, enjoy your working vacation in Miami and happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you.
Appreciate it. There he is, Matt Humans. Quick break. Wes Reynolds joins us on the other side.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, the magic of podcasting, in addition to these pictures that keep showing up behind me, which are changing. I did not know they would be changing, but hey, that's what happens when you take the show on the road. We bring in Wes Reynolds as we say goodbye to Matt Eumanns and welcome in Wes, and we're also going to go back in time and talk some Friday games. Mr. Wesley, happy Thanksgiving to you. Appreciate you jumping on, as it is Wednesdays with Wes, of course. We have to have Mr. Reynolds on the show. Let's go Friday noon. And I know you would maybe enjoy this a little bit more than Eumanns, who did have Mississippi State as a best bet. But when I'm done with you, you'll be wearing gold-plated diapers. Mississippi State, Wes, here in this spot.
Foo Fighters, more cowbell. And I think we're going to get some cowbell in Stark Vegas, actually. I think this is going to be a competitive game, of course. You know, was talking to our mutual friends down in Baton Rouge for a spot on their station, Jimmy Ott and Charlie Hanegriff, and they think Lane's coming. They seem to think that Lane is coming to Baton Rouge. And boy, that's obviously the main story here. And that's another distraction for Ole Miss, who, win and in, they're going to be in the college football playoff. They're comfortably ranked, but lose and then you're all of a sudden in a glut with a bunch of two lost teams. Meanwhile, Ole Miss, by the way, has not been tested in about over a month, because what they had three home games. They had what? South Carolina, Florida, and the Citadel. So nobody, Florida was kind of competitive, but nobody really tested them. And now you go to Mississippi State, who's 5-6. And if you've watched this team, they should be 7-4 or 8-3. They've had a couple really unfortunate losses this year. That Tennessee game in overtime, the Texas game where they absolutely had it dead to rights winning in the fourth quarter and couldn't hold on in overtime. So Mississippi State's going to be motivated here, and they always are in a rivalry game. But I just wonder if Ole Miss, having not been tested over the last month or so, if maybe they're going to get a more of a game than they think here. So I took 7.5. I'd still take a little bit of 7 that's out there right now. I got a fever and it calls for more cowbell.
You and Matt Eumanns, you'll have that fever on Friday afternoon down there in Stark Vegas. And we will see if indeed Lane Kiffin decides to head down to Baton Rouge, calling Baton Rouge after that. All right, let's go to maybe the best name of a rivalry, clean old-fashioned hate between Georgia, Georgia Tech. This game will not be played at Bobby Dodd Stadium, which, based off of what we saw last weekend, maybe it's a good thing. This game will be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Got a pretty high total in this one. Georgia Tech and Georgia, looking at this game, total sitting at 59.5, 14s pretty much across the market, a juice 13.5 at FanDuel. This game will be on ABC, 3:30 Eastern on Friday. I looked at the team total here for Georgia. That would be the look for me. What do you make of this spot? Can Georgia Tech get enough stops against this Georgia team?
Yeah, I don't think they can get very many, to be honest with you. They didn't get a lot against Pittsburgh last week, even though Pat Narduzzi tried to let Georgia Tech back in the game with that fake punt in the fourth quarter up
what
two scores.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was like, whoever the athletic director is at Pittsburgh now, if they lose this game, you Herman Edwards him. You get rid of him before he even gets to the locker room. Like, coach, we got to talk to you. If that would have happened, but Pittsburgh did hang on. So now Georgia Tech going to need a bunch of help in the ACC, and they have no control, probably not making the ACC title game. But clean old-fashioned hate here. What was it, Tim? Did it go 8 overtimes or 9 overtimes last year? I cannot remember.
23.
Because once they do the two-point conversions and all that stuff, that game went on forever. But indoor at Mercedes-Benz, downtown Atlanta, fast track, I think that's good for the over here. Georgia, like we've talked about in previous podcasts, they're not the dominant defense that they usually are up front. They're still very good. They're always going to be under Kirby Smart, but it's not that shutdown defense that gets a ton of pressure and, you know, gets a bunch of sacks and gets you always behind the chains. I think Haynes King's going to be able to move the ball on this team, but as you said at the top here, Georgia Tech's not going to be able to get enough stops, so it'd be over for me.
I think I'll hit probably a team total over on Georgia. It is worth noting Brent Key, 17-6 against the spread as a dog since taking over as an interim and then ultimately took the job full time. But I don't know how this team gets stops against this Georgia offense, which I was very impressed by. By the way, Georgia, hey, is in the barn for the SEC. If Alabama were to lose to Auburn, we'll talk about that game a little bit later, or if Texas and Texas A&M, if Texas is able to get that game, that will lead to Georgia playing in the conference championship game. Before we get to Texas, Texas A&M, I do want to go a little chronologically here. Also 3:30 ESPN on Friday. We've got the Mean Green of North Texas taking on Temple. And, you know, obviously a unique situation here, Wes, with the head coach, Eric Morris. He is going to be going to Oklahoma State, which I think is a very good hire by the Pokes, but he's going to stay with North Texas through the rest of the season, which may be a playoff appearance. Does this team rally behind their head coach at home under a 3-touchdown favor? We'll call it like 20.5 right now for the Mean Green.
Yeah, I think they do, Tim. And we're talking about all the conference championship scenarios in the American. Tulane and North Texas, I believe, those are the two that do control their own destiny here. So winning in, Tulane has Charlotte on Saturday, and they're 30-point favorites. So, you know, even though Charlotte did, the 49ers did get the cover for us last week with Georgia. Thank you, Kirby Smart, for being a true gentleman, unlike Ryan Day, who's always willing to tack one on there at the end. But I digress. More on the Buckeyes next week. As soon as the Hoosiers hang an eye on that bucket on Friday night, then we'll focus on Ohio State. But anyway, back to the task at hand here. I think North Texas, you know, Temple, Casey Keeler is a good coach, and he's going to get it turned around there. But they fell out of gas last week against Tulane, and I just don't know how they keep up here, Tim. Rice couldn't do it last week, even though North Texas got off to a very slow start at home. North Texas, it seemed like every time they had the football, they were going to score. And that's a reason why Morris is getting hired. Of course, at Oklahoma State, he's worked with a lot of stable of great quarterbacks, including Menstermaker for North Texas, who's been arguably the best passer in America. So I laid it here at 19.5 with UNT. I think that they're motivated to go to that American championship game. So I don't see any let up here with the coach leaving for Oklahoma State and that he's sticking with him. I think this is kind of like a finish the job deal for these guys.
All right, let's go to the night slate. Texas, Texas A&M. I talked about this already with Matt a little bit. This game, obviously, on ABC as well. Really good triple header on ABC on Black Friday. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Georgia, Georgia Tech. And then this will be the coup de grace, so to speak. Texas, Texas A&M. Number underneath 3. I took the points here with Texas, obviously, if you take 2.5, you probably think they're going to win the game outright. Arch Manning has been much better at home this year. It's funny, Wes, I'm going to say this, and it's going to blow up in my face, but I feel like I've had a decent read on Texas. I've bet them 4 times this year, twice against them, twice on them. I'm 4-0, so what could possibly go wrong here? But I like them in this spot. And this isn't, I'm not trying to knock A&M. I think they're a very good team, but, you know, unbalanced schedule, not necessarily tested all that much. I was impressed by the road win at LSU. Obviously, they beat Notre Dame, which is aging very well. I think Texas, even though I don't think they get in the playoff with a win, Wes, I think they beat Texas A&M Friday night down in Austin. I'll take the 2.5 in case we get 8 overtimes like Georgia, Georgia Tech a year ago. But what do you make of this spot here, Texas and Texas A&M on Friday night?
Yeah, I play +3 minus $1.20. So I did buy the hook. I don't usually do that very often in college football, but in a game like this, I would be willing to do it. Texas A&M, you look at the imbalanced schedule. Like, it seems like every team they play, the coach gets fired. So maybe they're the reason these coaches are getting fired. Of course, Auburn, Hugh Freeze, was later fired down at Florida. Billy Napier, Arkansas, Sam Pittman, LSU, Brian Kelly, right after the game, as a matter of fact. So it seems like every coach is getting fired or eventually going somewhere else. We'll see if Sark is added to that. I think Sark is pretty safe, even though Jimmy Sexton will drum up the interest, right? You know, he'd be interested in the Tennessee Titans job. And it's like, I never said that. I never did anything. So throw poor Diana Rossini of The Athletic under the bus. But anyway, I do like Texas here. I think the defense is better at home. I think A&M is going to struggle to run the ball. So, you know, this is their season. Pressure's on A&M now. Now the pressure's been on Texas all year, right?
Sure.
Because they were number one to start at Ohio State, didn't get it done. Now it's kind of off a little bit, even though maybe they can finagle their way into the playoff, but they need a lot of help and a lot of things to go their way. The first thing that they could take care of business is to win this one. And then, you know, that at least puts you up for discussion where they put you on the board and the committee does whatever the committee does. I watch that show every week. I never know what they do. The goalposts change and move every week. But I like the Longhorns. So hook them.
Yeah, we're going to hook them, hopefully. Hook them on my flight home from Fort Lauderdale to Vegas. I'm going to be watching that and probably not trying to throw things and in frustration as I watch Texas and Texas A&M. At the same time, maybe I'll have to reach over and change my wife's TV on the back of her headrest so I can watch Indiana-Purdue. We got a prediction from Matt earlier in the podcast on this game, Wes. So Friday, NBC Indiana at Purdue. Fernando Mendoza, odds on favorite right now to win the Heisman Trophy. 28.5 point favorite. Are they going to put up a number on the Boilermakers on Friday night?
I think that they very well could, and that is a Heisman Doza to everybody else out there, because if noted
I'm all about this.
Yes. No, noted handicapper Joey Kanish broke this down on the Twitter last night. If Mendoza wins out, he wins the Heisman. There's just all there is to it. I don't care if the numbers are kind of just adequate, but
totally, you know, agree.
Saying I think he's got to have a couple very big games at Michigan, and then of course the Big Ten title game against Indiana, and I think Reed might be on the outside looking in. You know, maybe Diego Pavia will get consideration, but I think it's Mendoza's to lose personally because of the story, you know, with his mother battling MS and the fact that that everybody seems to like him in the college football media. Maybe not all the fans do, based on what you read on the Twitter. It's like, who is this nerd speaking all in complete sentences and whatnot, enunciating his words? But anywho, I'm not going to lay the 28.5, and it's even 29.5 some places here, because this is the old Oaken Bucket Bowl for Purdue. And Purdue, a lot of the thought pieces have come out, you know, can they eventually be like Indiana? Well, not immediately, because Indiana caught lightning in a bottle with Kurt Cignetti and his staff coming from James Madison, and 13 players that played for him coming from James Madison, which was a winning program. So they knew how to win, albeit at the Sun Belt level. But, you know, could get some weather there. It's going to be a little cold up there in West Lafayette on Friday night. So what I would like to see is Indiana do what they did last year, 66-0. That's not going to happen. This is a much better team and a much better operation. But somebody's got to score a touchdown for IU and then go ahead and find that little stick somewhere sitting against the wall of the end zone and bang the big-ass drum. That would add some spice to this rivalry. It's like, we're going to come in and we're going to bang your drum in West Lafayette. Another eye is going to be put on that old Oaken Bucket, and we'll see Ohio State and Indy more than likely. Probably.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into the Saturday slate, more best bets with Wes Reynolds right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We're back here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And if you've been a loyal listener to our podcast, you know that Rainbow Authentics has been a proud sponsor all year long. And boy, they've got something exciting right now. You've seen the kicks. You've felt the energy. Now it's time to wear it with the official Tokyo Toe gear inspired by Lou Groza finalist Hawaii's Kansei Matsuzawa. From bold tees to clean hoodies, every piece brings the same focus and drive Kansei shows on the field. Show your pride, show your passion, only at tokyotoe.com. That's T-O-K-Y-O-T-O-E.com. Gear up and own the moment. Yes, Tokyo Toe, Kansei Matsuzawa. One of the cooler stories in college football. I know I'm biased, but...
Didn't he play for the Red Sox?
I think that's Daisuke.
Daisuke Matsuzaka. Okay.
No missed field goals this year for the Tokyo Toe and one of the Lou Groza Award finalists. All right, let's get back to the Saturday slate here, Wes, and let's dive into an early noon game, South Carolina and Clemson. And I've got some thoughts on some noon games as well. This game will be on the SEC Network. Right now, South Carolina, 2.5 point favorite money line. We'll call it -$1.35. That looks like what Circa has, -40 out there. What do you make of this spot here? Clemson is bowl eligible, so they have kind of, avoided complete and utter disgrace, but still a very disappointing year. What do you make of the Palmetto State Showdown between South Carolina and Clemson?
Yes, this is the Palmetto Bowl for South Carolina because they're 4-7, and you know, I don't know if they are the most disappointing team in college football. They're certainly up there in the top 3 to 5 because this team was almost ranked in the top 10 in the preseason. And then after the Virginia Tech win, it went sideways for these guys. Lenora Sellers was back. They thought maybe they could compete with the upper echelon of the SEC. They were not able to, but I think that they rally around here. I know that they're 4-7 and they can't go to a bowl, so everybody thinks, okay, they're going to mail it in. I don't think so here against Clemson. And I think Clemson last time out, if you remember that game at Louisville, where they were very celebratory, that they knew that was a big game, you know, that was essentially going to get them bowl eligible because they had Furman, of course, last week. So, you know, South Carolina, I think Clemson, I don't want to say they're happy to just go to a bowl game, but based on where they were to start the season, where you're 1-3, you probably are. South Carolina, you got that disappointment. This is the chance to kind of take out the aggression a little bit. Should be a low scoring game at the total at only 46.5. I laid money line here with the Gamecocks.
I want to stay in the noon window and get your thoughts on a couple of games. And this game we haven't hit yet. Noon Eastern in Pittsburgh. I don't know, some random sponsor nowadays. I just call it Heinz Field. That's what it will always be to me. Pittsburgh hosting Miami. Temps expected in like the mid-30s. So you got the boys from South Florida, where I'm at right now, where it's 75 and lovely, and they're headed up to Pittsburgh. We saw Pittsburgh bounce back after their disaster of a performance against Notre Dame. I looked at Pitt, Wes, but I couldn't get there, and here's why. I just think that offensive line is going to get shredded by Miami's defensive front. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Notre Dame had 22 pressures on 41 dropbacks. I saw my guy Colin Wilson tweet that out after the Notre Dame game. I don't know how Pitt blocks Miami. I can't trust Miami in this spot in the cold, but that's ultimately why I always look dog. I think you and I both look dog first. I have a hard time making the case for the dog here. Look, I want Miami in the playoff. I want that to be known. Like, I think they are a top 10 team. Can they get it done here? Can they make a statement? Any thoughts on Miami Pitt?
Yeah, I'd be with you leaning the dog, but actually the play I'd probably like better a little bit is the under at 50.5, just because I think Pitt, the young man Heichel, he's been great. I think taking over at quarterback, but this is a different kind of pressure that you're going to get with that Miami front four. So I just don't know, how they're going to continue drives. And Pitt, not the best defense, but you know what? Miami's been a little shaky offensively lately. I thought that they were a little uneven at Virginia Tech in a game that you would have thought, okay, they're just going to steamroll these guys with quote unquote nothing to play for. And it was a 10-point game with like a few minutes to go. And you know, in Virginia Tech trying to get that on onside kick late, but it'd be under for me if I bet anything, and I may end up having a small piece of it at 50.5 come Saturday.
Yeah, I thought about it. I looked at it for a best bet. Pitt team total, I think, is under 21.5. Haven't bet that yet, but certainly might add it to the card. Maybe when the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show rolls around on Saturdays, noon or 9 to noon Eastern. Little subtle drop there. All right, 3:30 CBS. We already hit on this one. I'll circle back to it. Oregon and Washington. It looks like it's going to be a clean sweep here looking at the dog in this one. I took 7 with the Huskies at home against Oregon. What do you make of this spot on Saturday afternoon in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, I did the same here with Oregon. Of course, the CFP standings that came out on Tuesday, Oregon at number 6 looks relatively comfortable, right? They finally got that signature win over USC. Came in a little bit of cost. They're a little banged up, especially at the receiving core, including DeCorian Moore. So, maybe makes their offense a little bit more pedestrian against a Husky defense that I think is a pretty solid defense. And other than maybe Ohio State, I don't think Washington's they've been disappointing. It's been their offense, I think, that have been disappointing with the game at Wisconsin where they lose outright as double-digit favorites on the road. They've been a little shaky on the road. But I think Washington, this is the rivalry, by the way, and that's something I learned as I went up to Oregon. Oregon despises Washington more than they despise Oregon State. And vice versa, I think, even though those two teams have state rivals, Washington is going to want this here. They've been a little, I don't want to say they're disappointing because they're 8-3, but they're not in the top 25. They're not even ranked. So they probably feel like they're not getting any respect at all. This is a great way to get that respect against kind of a banged up Oregon team off that signature win of the season. Give me the Huskies.
All right, let's go to the primetime slate. We have not touched on this game yet. 7:30, the Iron Bowl. Under the lights, Jordan-Hare, Bama at Auburn. Bama, they got to win this game if they want to make the playoff. If they win this game, I think they're good, even if they were to lose in the SEC championship. But they lose, they're out. Right or wrong, this would be their third loss, and it feels like they would certainly be popped out. I think Auburn's going to give him everything here. I don't know if they'll be able to pull it off, Wes. Look, you and I were on Auburn a couple weeks ago when they were at Georgia, should have went up 17-0. Horrific call at the goal line turns the tides of that game. It's going to be every quarterback thrown at him. Ashton Daniels is back. Deuce Knight, Jackson Arnold might even get in there. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. I took the 6 with Auburn. I was hoping for a 7. We're not going to get it in this spot. I think Auburn, under the lights, this is their season. We know it's been a brutal season. Hugh Freeze has already been fired. I think you get everything and then some, and I wouldn't be surprised late Saturday night we're kind of mind blown by Auburn pulling out the outright upset. So Auburn's the best bet for me. I took the 6.
Admittedly, I have not gotten there yet. I would be on your side here. The Auburn offense has been a little bit better. Remember, they went up and down with Vanderbilt. Like, this was a team that was the week after they scored 3 points at home against Kentucky, which led to Hugh Freeze's dismissal. And I know Alabama, a top 10 defense, but they're not as dominant defensively necessarily either. I would lean Auburn. I want a 7. I don't think it's going to come, maybe a small play on the Tigers. I have not bet this yet, but I'm not convinced with Alabama. And people will say I'm crazy. I have not been convinced all year with this team. And maybe it was because they lost that opener to Florida State, but I'm just like, I don't know, they've been, because they're Alabama, it's like, oh man, you got to respect that they're great. They're not great. They're good, but they're not the elite Alabama that they have been. Exactly. And that's why I think that they've been a little bit down. And is there anything to these Kalen DeBoer to Penn State reports? I don't know. I see about them on the Twitter machine. I don't know if it's whether there's smoke, there's fire, but gosh, Alabama laying 6, man. Boy, that seemed like candy, but that might be candy laced with some poison, I think, if you're laying this. So it'd be War Eagle or nothing.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun one. This card that I have this week, and we're gonna talk more games after we take a quick break here say farewell to the folks on the Fast Channel. But my card, and we've joked about it, it's the genius or jerk card, man. It's going to make me feel like a genius, or I'm going to be sitting there and being like, what was I thinking taking the points with Auburn with a fired coach. How could I take Virginia Tech, the ultimate stinker? And we're going to talk more about that one on the other side. But yeah, this card, it's shaping up. A lot of ugly dogs here. We'll do a best bet recap on the other side with Wes. Just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe. We've got swag. We're going to be sending it out thanks to our friends at Rainbow Authentics. We got to figure out a proper way to get you guys involved there. But keep hitting us with those five-star reviews, as well as hitting the subscribe button there on YouTube. So once again, if you're watching with us on the Fast Channel, thanks for watching. Much appreciated. If you're hanging with us on YouTube or on iTunes, quick break on the other side. Best bet recap. A bunch of other games we'll hit on as well. So stick with us. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, back on the podcast. Once again, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, give us that five-star review if you don't mind. All right, bunch of games. Let's go hurry up offense here. And I want to get onto a game where this one, a little inside baseball. I sent a play over to producer Rick, who's sitting in for Wyatt this week. And I said, hey, throw Virginia Tech on there. And I said, I don't know, maybe leave Virginia Tech off. I said, you know what? Screw it. Let's go. Hokies, I've been negative on Virginia all year long, and they've got all the pressure in the world taking on Virginia Tech here in this spot. They are not a very good run defense, Virginia. Can Virginia Tech, can the Hokies show some life here? Remember, they ran all over Cal, which I'm not saying was the is the most vintage defense, considering they just fired Justin Wilcox this past week, and they're moving to Nick Rolovich. But I took double digits with Virginia Tech here in this spot. I actually took 11.5 earlier this week. Anything in double digits, there's still some tens out there. I'm going to take it. Maybe I'll look like an absolute ass. Wouldn't be the first, won't be the last. But I like the Hokies here. The pressure is on the Hoos. If they win, Wes, they're going to the ACC championship. If they lose, well, that opens up a whole nother can of worms and they're likely out. So what do you make of this spot with the pressure all over normally little bro in UVA?
Yeah, the two teams that controlled the ACC or their destiny in the ACC are Virginia and SMU, who is playing at the aforementioned Cal, almost two touchdown favorites. I'm on the Hokies as well. I took 10.5. I would still take 10. This is the Commonwealth Cup, of course, for the Commonwealth of Virginia. And Virginia Tech, you know, I thought that they fought against Miami. They did get the cover when a lot of people thought, okay, this is where Miami is going to steamroll them because they want to move up in the college football playoff and get in those rankings. And they're still the highest rated ACC team, by the way. But it's been a bad season for Virginia Tech. James Franklin, of course, was in attendance wearing the Hokie colors last week. So you've got some guys, including some players that obviously are thinking about where else they're going to go. And if they want to stay, you know, with this program and impress Coach Franklin, well, one of the ways to do that is to show up in this game where you have nothing to play for. And I think that they are here. I think Virginia, even though Chandler Morris is very good, he did miss a little bit of time this year. I think that this team's been living dangerously, and they've been winning a lot of close games that they should have lost this year. I read the Washington State game, I think, is a big example. The Louisville game as well, where I had Louisville that week, and I think Virginia had what, two defensive touchdowns or something like that.
Like a post game win expectancy of 6%.
Yeah, and then they won in overtime over U of L. But I thought that this one number was a little rich. This is a rivalry game. Like, these teams that we think are not bowl eligible, you know, or can't get bowl eligible, like, we always think that these teams are going to lay down. And when we eventually do the autopsy of this final week slate, we're going to see a couple teams that did. Laid down. But we're going to see some teams that I think really played hard in the scenario. And I think Virginia Tech is going to be one of those teams.
All right. I want to run through a bunch of games, do some quick hitters. But you do have one more best bet. And kudos to you. You are a bolder man than me. But you know what? I heard another one of our buddies talk about this game. And I'm warming up in the situation. You're betting the Bearcats with a K. Shout out to Phil Longo and Sam Houston State. They've actually been playing better football, believe it or not, as of late. They're a double-digit home dog against FIU, who got the bowl eligibility last week. So what are they really playing for in this spot? Sam Houston at home catching double digits.
Yeah, and that's the first time FIU has been bowl eligible in, like, I think 8 years, might be seven. I may be off a year, but it's been a while. And they had to come back and beat Jacksonville State last week, who, by the way, they're playing Western Kentucky, I think, for the right to go to the Conference USA championship game this week. But yeah, I think FIU, you know, there's that sense of accomplishment. Hey, we're going to a bowl game. Now you're going all the way to Huntsville, Texas, play kind of a bad team in Sam Houston, who has been playing better. Remember, there were two at one point in FBS that did not have a win, Sam Houston and UMass. I hate to pick on poor UMass, but they might be the worst team in FBS. I know Brad Powers certainly agrees, and he would have more of a historical reference than certainly I would, but they were bad. But Sam Houston, you know, they've been gritty. You know, won that game where they were totally outplayed at Oregon State, and not only covered, but won as 21-point underdogs. I think that they're going to show up here. You know, last game, it's senior day. You probably have some kids that, you know, expected a lot, and then you had a coaching change as Casey Keeler went up to Philadelphia and went back home to Temple. And, you know, this is their last chance to win a game at home. And you're getting an FIU team that might be, you know, feeling themselves a little bit because they're looking to say, OK, where are we going for the bowl game? What trip are we going to take? Are we getting sent to Orlando? Are we getting sent to Shreveport or whatever the Conference USA bowl tie-ins are? But I think Sam Houston treats this kind of as their bowl game. I like 10 here.
All right. The Mountain West, near and dear to our heart. We've already talked a little Wyoming, Hawaii. That was the best bet from Matt. I did throw Hawaii in a money line parlay. I think they win against Wyoming. Not crazy about laying the number, but market is confusing to me. But let's go to the battle for, what is it, the Fremont Cannon.
The Fremont Cannon, yes.
Yeah. UNLV and Nevada. UNLV still has a chance to win the Mountain West. They need some help on Friday. So maybe if things don't go their way, maybe Nevada looks a more appealing come Saturday, 9 o'clock, this game on CBS Sports Network. Just quick scenarios for you guys. If San Diego State, hopefully they don't because I have New Mexico. If San Diego State beats New Mexico and Boise State beats Utah State, that is your Mountain West championship game. So UNLV catching 7.5, 8 on the road in Reno. We know this is a big rivalry in the state.
Could be a little doubt, by the way, on the Boise State side is that Madsen is not going to be back for the finale against Utah State, who just got bowl eligible with Bronco Mendenhall in his first year. That's no surprise. He does that everywhere he goes. But I'm on you. I'm on Reno here in the Fremont Cannon. And I have egg on my face. I thought Hawaii was going to get UNLV last week, and UNLV was the much better team. You know, Hawaii got that first drive on the touchdown. It's like, OK, here we go. And then the offense really got kind of handled a little bit, I thought, over the final, you know, three quarters or so by UNLV. But we know, as we talked about the Rebels, and credit to Dan Mullen, who's kept it going, and they've done, you know, a very good job, but they've been fortunate in a lot of games this year. Now you're playing Nevada. You know, they're seen as kind of the little brother in state, depending on where you are, especially if you're here in Clark County. But they're seen as the little brother here. So, you know, all the hype with UNLV and Coach Mullen and you know what they're doing, and the fact that they could have a 10-win season. I took 8.5 here with the Wolf Pack. I'll be interested to see what the weather is going to be up there in Reno on Saturday night, because it's warm where you are in Florida. It's starting to get a little bit chilly here in the Silver State, and probably going to be very chilly up there in the northern part of the state. So I took the 8.5 here. I still think the Cannon's going to get painted red, because that's the whole thing with that, paint it red or paint it blue for Nevada. But I thought 8.5 was a little bit rich here for UNLV.
All right, we're done with our best bets. We're going to get our best bet recap here. I've got about four games I just wanted to pepper you with that I don't have a bet on, but it just missed the card. You know, we like to play ugly dogs. I texted our buddy Jimmy Ott down in Baton Rouge, and I said, hey, am I crazy to like LSU in this spot? He said, yes. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll stay
You know
here.
What? I was going to send that same text, actually, because I was looking at that, because I was on LSU, by the way, against Western Kentucky. no energy whatsoever against a Western Kentucky team that couldn't hardly move the ball. And Western Kentucky actually made it like a 3-point game with a fumble return late.
Wes, I like to do the math problem, and sometimes it works out, right? I talked about this with the Navy game, Navy and USF. I was like, the math isn't mathing here. Well, Missouri closed a 4.5-point dog at Oklahoma, and LSU's a 10-point dog. What are those two teams on a neutral? It's not 5.5, but I don't know. I just, as crazy as it sounds, Wes, I think I might take the under 36.5.
Yeah.
This just feels like a horrifically ugly offensive game. I mean, two SEC teams with a total of 36.5. I've seen it in Big Ten land. I've seen it in Army Navy. An SEC game between LSU and Oklahoma, we've got a total of 36.5.
Doesn't this seem like it's going to be like a 20-7 game and yes, LSU has the football and you're thinking, okay, we got one last chance at a back door here. Can the Van Buren boys get it home? And they weren't, they just, man, I just looked at that team last week because I watched some of that game because that was one of my bets, laying LSU in that big number. They don't have guys that can catch. They just don't have dudes. Like to me, LSU does not have the usual LSU talent, and there's plenty of talent in that state, and they can recruit nationally because of their brand. And that's going to maybe keep me away, but I got a feeling that this is going to be something like a 20-10 game, like right at the number.
Van Buren boys.
Or 23-13, something like that. And, you're hoping at the end for an LSU backdoor, kind of like we were against Alabama a few weeks ago, and then just fall just a little bit short. So nothing for me at this time.
Yeah, nothing for me. Jimmy Ott scared me off of it. But if LSU does cover, I'm going to be mad at Jimmy. Another game, Wes, I was going to give it out, but the numbers move so much. I like Wake in this spot against Duke, but I like that 3. It's now Wake is a favorite in some spots. Duke still has scenarios where they could get into the ACC championship game. I have done a very poor job of handicapping Duke games. I was on UNC last week. That game was mightily frustrating with the fake field goal and there was a roughing the kicker on UNC. Wildly undisciplined as UNC.
And of course, not to sound like Matt Eumanns here, the next 2-point conversion, because I had 7 with Carolina.
Yeah, so did I.
The next 2-point conversion that goes in my favor will be the first one. I need it or I don't need the other guy to get it.
As a better Wes, you knew once they faked that field goal, I was like, well, they're going to get the 2, obviously, because that's just the way it works. It was an excruciating push. I have been so impressed by Jake Dickert and what he's done at Wake this year. I like Wake here, but not at the current number. Just wanted to throw that one out there. 3:30 on ACC Network. Also 3:30 SEC Network. Wes, I almost never lay chalk on the road. I think I'm going to take a little money line slice on Mizzou. -140 on Circa. It's not going to be an official best bet. I think Arkansas is checked out. I think the second half against Texas was it. I think they're done. They've fought like every week, and it just feels like at some point rubber's going to meet the road. Bobby Petrino's not getting that job. So, plenty of rumors about Drink and if he'll leave Missouri. But I think when you look at Ahmad Hardy and that defense for Arkansas, he could have another Mississippi State performance where he goes for 3 bills. So not an official play, but I'll probably be on Mizzou money line -140. I think Arkansas's checked out.
Yeah, they probably have. And Arkansas seeing all these other programs hire coaches and, the rumors, where Lane Kiffin's going to go. Is he going to go to LSU? Is he going to go to Florida? Is he going to stay at Ole Miss? I know our pal Brett McMurphy surveyed the college football landscape and got the opinions of people of where he's going to be. But one place he's not going to be is Arkansas. And Arkansas has no idea who their coach is going to be, even though it was reported like a month ago that Ryan Silverfield was going to take that job. And who knows if there's still something to that. But I think there's a lot of questions around Arkansas here. So this might not be a dog. Where I said earlier, I think that there's going to be some teams that you wouldn't expect that are going to play hard. Maybe Arkansas is one of those that lay down. I did not bet this game.
Yeah, a little bet for me, but not an official play. All right, two others before we get out of here, give you our best bet recap. I really wanted to bet Army. This is a bowl eligibility game because the Navy game will not count for bowl eligibility, so they have to win this game. The problem, you and I both had UTSA last week, as did the great Paul Stone on the tailgate show. I wish they were all that easy because the Roadrunners just obliterated East Carolina. I believe they're now 33-4 straight up at home. So UTSA is a juggernaut at home at the Alamo Dome. I like Army plus the points, but didn't get there with this one. And then last one, Wes, I really want to bet Cal. I want to do it. Mm-hmm. If I get 14, Nick Rolovich, is he auditioning for the job? I know the Oregon offensive coordinator is the heavy favorite to likely get that Cal job. He's a Cal guy. But this number seems crazy to me. 13.5 at home for Cal. If 14 shows up, I might hold my nose and take the Golden Bears if Cal hasn't checked out. And, you know, this might be one of those situations where SMU comes in and just curb stomps Cal. And they're like, I just want the season to be over. Could very much happen. But those are two dogs that just missed the card. Cal almost catching two touchdowns and Army as well.
Nick Rolovich and the Berkeley faithful, boy, then they go together perfectly, right? Yeah. He's saying, Big Daddy, they go together like lamb and tuna fish.
Spaghetti and meatball, if you would
prefer
like
that analogy, considering this is America. So get the hell out, as the Steve Buscemi character would say in that movie.
I'll give down the year and give you a crew cut. All right. We've reached the point of the podcast where we're quoting Big Daddy. So let's get our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Wes, I'll let you do the honors here with your recap of your best bets here on the show.
Yeah, and a couple we didn't get to, I'll get to really quickly. Mississippi State +7. I like the over in clean old fashioned. Hey, Georgia Tech 59.5, North Texas -19.5, Texas +3, bought the hook there. South Carolina in the money line in the Palmetto Bowl against Clemson. Sam Houston State +10. One I didn't get to, that BYU line has not moved all week. I'm going to take 18 with UCF. And look, going against BYU has not been good for me. Because that was the stinkiest line, laying 2.5 at Cincinnati. Oh, yeah. It was like, this is too easy. And, of course, I go the other way once that happens. And then BYU, of course, gets the win and the cover. Washington +7. And I think 7s may show on the weekend as well. Virginia Tech +10 in the Commonwealth Cup. And then the battle for the Fremont Cannon, Nevada +8.5 over UNLV.
All right, we had Matt give his best bet recap earlier, but I'll recap it in case you missed it. He's on Mississippi State as well, more cowbell +7. Territorial Cup, he's taking the home dog in Arizona State. He said he hadn't bet it yet, hoping for a 3. Vanderbilt +3 against Tennessee, under in Michigan, Ohio State, laying the chalk with Hawaii out on the island and taking the Huskies +7 of Washington. My best bets, New Mexico, money line or 1.5, however you want to play it. I'll take the money line here. I did bet it at 2.5 earlier in the week, but for grading purposes, money line, even money. Texas +2.5. Michigan, Ohio State, first half under 23.5. Auburn +6, Washington +7, Hokies, gobble gobble, +10. Couple other games that might get to the card. Check out the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show Saturday at 9 Eastern. I'm sure I'll have plenty more bets for you guys there. But Wes, much appreciated to you. Happy Thanksgiving. I got a turkey platter right here for you. There you go.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hopefully, I'll wash that down with some Boilermakers over the
Reynolds.
Weekend.
That's Wes Reynolds. Thanks to Matt Humans. Thanks to Rick stepping in for Wyatt. Thanks to Ryan Hunter. And thanks to all of you for you guys. This has been an awesome year. Obviously, we'll keep this rolling all throughout the playoffs. But just a special thank you to you guys. They've made this podcast so much fun and the numbers have been amazing. So a tip of the cap to all of you guys for the support all throughout the college football season. And let's wrap up with some winners. How about that? Let's do that. Last week, not so great. 2-4-1 for me last week. So let's have a winning week. That's going to do it. This is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.